with us. Well, tonight we're wrapping up our Belong series, thinking about serving others. And to get us into this mindset and in the zone, I want you to think of the kind of serving that you've experienced in your home environment. It could be currently or in the past when you were growing up in the younger years. In my context, my wife, Lisa, she's like the creative mastermind and chef in the kitchen, which I really appreciate. For me, my hands were made for washing, so dishes, cars, dogs. On rainy days like yesterday, it's dirty children. And my son, he unpacks the dishwasher. And my daughter, well, her contribution is daily doses of comedy, life commentary, and spontaneous dancing. She's like, Dad, that's how I contribute to this family, right? You know? Now, if I can state the obvious, none of us serve in our family to earn a spot in the family. I don't say to Evie, sweetheart, if you nail your comedy routine tonight, you can stick around for another year. You know, like, imagine, it's not works-based, performance-based, you know? We'd all be evicted, right, if that was the case. The reality is we serve because we're already part of the family. And you've probably experienced this as well, right? Serving is just what you do when you're part of the family. And when we do it, right, that the house runs smoother, things work, you know, especially if, you know, the cutlery goes away in the right spot, you know. But the same can be said with church family as well, right? And today we're going to see and we're going to learn that serving others actually has a profound impact on people's faith. And so if you've got a Bible, have it open. We're going to explore, do a bit of a flyby over 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, where Paul looks at gifts, loves, orderly worship, and he provides this big picture of serving others in love. And basically what we're going to learn is that for us, we ought to use what God has given us to serve others in love for the sake of people's relationship with Jesus. And so starting in chapter 12, what we see is that Paul is not trying to dazzle us with some spiritual fireworks display or, you know, railing off a whole bunch of spiritual gifts. He's actually making a more down-to-earth point, saying, serve others with what God has given you for their benefit. Have a look at verse 4 in chapter 12. He says, now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God activates each gift in each person. The demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what is beneficial. The last line is key. To produce what is beneficial. You know, we serve others not to boast in our spiritual resume or for self-improvement, you know, not for bragging rights over supper. I say, hey, do you think, sir? We serve others to build, to bless, to strengthen them in their walk with Jesus. And so here at church, think about all the ways in which serving takes place at church. We teach, we encourage, we lead, we organize, we pray, we sing, we make coffee, we run text, we hang out with kids, we smile, we chat, we hear people, run, not because like we have to, right? We do it because we love it. Because we want to benefit others. Which is why Paul uses the body illustration in the second part of 1 Corinthians 12. You might be familiar with it. He says, you know, the eye cannot say to the hand, you know, I don't need you, or the head say to the feet, you know, I don't need you. But Paul's argument is that each part exists not for itself. Even Mike Wazowski, right? He's basically one giant eye, but he still needs feet, hand, and a mouth, right? He didn't walk around the hill, you know, just with an eyeball rolling down the hill. Right? He needed the other parts. And in a more profound way than Monsters, Inc., you know, Paul drives his point home in verses 18. He says, but now God has placed each one of the parts in one body just as he wants. And if they're all the same part, where would the body be? Now there are many parts. Many parts, one body, diversity, united in Christ, under Christ, is the body. Now, at this point, right, it can be easy for us to get lost and start debating about the gifts, you know, which one are active today, you know, why do we see some gifts in some churches and not others, and look, that would be an interesting rabbit hole for us to go down. We'll be here for hours, possibly days. Says, whatever God has given you, use it to serve others. The point is not the gift, rather it's the giver and the people who we're called to serve. Now, contextually, that wouldn't have sat well with the church in Corinth, right? Because they love status. They love wow factor gifts and being impressive. And as a result, what we see in the church is that there was pride and division their hankering and elevation of spiritual gifts. And so what Paul is doing, he's seeking to untangle their misdirection, their overemphasis, their over-spiritualization of gifts, which they made it all about them. Basically, Paul is saying to them, guys, you want to talk about impressiveness? Then go and serve others for their benefit. That's impressive. And so tonight, if you leave thinking, you know, how can I use what God's given me to serve people this week? And you've nailed it. You've understood what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 12. But serving others is just a part of it, right? There's more to it than just serving others with what God has given us. Because in chapter 13, what do we see? Well, Paul makes it very clear that serving without love, it's kind of like, you know, a Wi-Fi without internet. You know, lots of potential, but zero real use. Or, like I found out this morning, it's like decaf coffee. Looks the part, zero kick. Right? I don't want any of that. And in my experience, you know, I've served with no love. And it's shallow, right? It's exhausting. You've probably experienced that, right? So have a look with me at 1 Corinthians 4, 13, and even the end of chapter 12, in verse 31. And what did Paul say? He said, but desire the greater gifts, and I will show you an even better way. If I speak human or angelic language but do not have love, I'm a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, understanding, knowledge, faith, giving to the poor, but do not have love, I am nothing. I gain nothing. Pretty definitive, isn't it? It's blunt. And Paul is good at being blunt. But what Paul is getting at here is that he's pressing us past what we do to actually why we do it. Are we serving from a place of love? Are we serving others in love? Pause and reflect on that for a moment. I wonder, like me, have you ever sort of jumped into ministry or jumped into serving just because you can, right? Not because you genuinely love. Or sometimes do we celebrate people's abilities, right, more than where their actual heart is in serving them? Just because someone is gifted doesn't automatically mean they should do it. Because as Paul says, if I don't have love, I'm nothing, gain nothing. Love isn't the optional upgrade. It's not that the sunroof and the car or the leather seats, you know, or the roof racks, you know. It's the engine that powers the serving. Without love, our serving becomes just noise and egocentric. Without love, our willingness, right, to help, so is it turned into frustration and duty or inconsistent serving. Right, you've experienced that. So this is where Paul helpfully unpacks how love behaves, if I can put it like that. And the kind of love that Paul is talking about is serving others kind of love. Love that moves us towards others, even when it might be inhuman for us. Look at how love behaves in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. You might be familiar with the list, right? Love is patient, it's kind, not envious, it's not proud. Rattles off a whole bunch of characteristics, and all the way to the very end, he says, love never fails. Love makes all the difference. Love is the beating heart of serving others. It's the pulse of true serving. Which which naturally leads us to ask, well, how do love and gifts, how do they work together? What are we trying to achieve when we serve? Well, for that, Paul takes us to chapter 14. And here, Paul, he zooms in on the church gathering. Hear what he says in chapter 14, verse 1. He says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, and above all, that you may prophesy. Notice what Paul's reasoning is in verse 3. But the person who prophesies speaks to people for edification, encouragement, and consolation. And then he concludes at the end of verse 4, he who prophesies builds. Now, putting aside for a moment the curiosity about prophecy, which we know from other parts of Scripture, it's a word-based ministry. What we see here, right, is that we are to pursue love. You know, that's our posture, our attitude, our heart, the principle which drives our serving. We are to pursue spiritual gifts, and with our practice, our actions, our contribution. We are to use what God has given us. Why? What's the purpose? It's to build a church. Now, why do you think Paul highlights prophecy over speaking in another language? Well, it's got to do with intelligibility, right? Paul contrasts these two gifts not because he's saying, look, one's spiritually cooler than the other, but it's because one is understood. And again, that would have cut to the heart of those in Corinth who were obsessed with spiritual status. Right? And Paul knew this, and so he leans into this, and he says to them, what in verse 12? He says, so also you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, seek to excel in building up the church. Harness this zealousness for gifts and use it, right, to excel in building up the church. Put your energy and zeal into serving one another. Engage with those around you. Help build them up in their love and knowledge of Jesus. Help them know Jesus better. Help them love Jesus deeper. Because that's what matters. Paul himself, he reflects on this and he tells them, you know, hey guys, I'm a language guru, right? He speaks in other languages more than any of them. And yet, what is he saying, verse 19? It's remarkable. He says, in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding in order to teach others also than 10,000 words in another language. Got that right? In the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding in order to teach others also than speak 10,000 words in another language. Paul's basically saying, you know, I've got the gift, but I would rather keep it simple than sound like a cryptic crossword puzzle. Kind of like, you know, imagine if I got up here and I started delivering my sermon in Finnish. You know, you might be like, wow, that's, yeah, impressive. Wow, well done, you know. And, you know, our visitors from Finland, they'll say thank you very much. But everyone else, right, in the end will be like, I have no idea what he's saying, right? See the principle at play here? We're to choose intelligibility and clarity over confusion. See how the principle of love drives Paul in how he seeks to use what God has given him to build up the church. And Paul drives this point home a couple of verses later in verse 26, right? Now, does he conclude verse 26? All things must be done for edification. Now, edification has the sense of building. So at the end of the day, Paul wants every part of the gathering to be done for building up God's people. He wants our serving to be done to build up the faith of others so that our church will grow and mature. That doesn't mean it's, you know, free for all and we just go and do what we want. You know, I'm serving here. So, you know, it's not that. Paul clarifies, you know, in verse 40, what does he say? He qualifies this. He says, everything must be done decently and in order. And that makes sense, right? Chaos doesn't build anyone up. The last couple of days with rain at home with my kids, I can tell you chaos at home definitely doesn't build anyone up, right? The church, it's orderly, how we serve. And so when you take a step back, right, and you look at the whole section, it becomes beautifully clear. You know, 1 Corinthians 12 says, serve others with what God has given you to benefit others. 1 Corinthians 13 says, serve others in love, because love actually matters. It's the engine room. And 1 Corinthians 14 says, serve others to build up the church. Three chapters, one message. Use what God has given you to serve others in love, to build them up in their walk with Jesus. And that's the heartbeat of Christian service. So what does this all mean for us here at St. Mark's? Well, spoiler alert, next Sunday we've got our next step Sundays, and we'll sort of unpack this in more detail and think through sort of practical ways of what serving others looks like. And to kind of think of tonight as like the trailer, you know, or the teaser before the main event. But let me just leave you with this diagram here. And the three questions that maybe you can sort of write down, put in the phone, whatever it is, chew over these three questions this week. First question is this, what has God given me? Secondly, where are the opportunities and the ministry priorities? Where are the opportunities and the ministry priorities? Thirdly, and above all, how can I wrap my serving of others in love so that it will help build them up? And so the good news, right, is that if you're here tonight and you're a Christian, well, you're part of the family. Family needs you. Important you know this. And so we serve, right, because we're part of the family. That's what family does. Families, members we serve. In a couple of weeks' time, we've got our carols. There's going to be opportunities, particular priorities. There's going to be needs, set up, decoration, helping out with carnival games, building activity props, ushering, praying, a whole bunch of stuff. How can you get involved? And look, it may sort of overlap with, you know, opportunities and your confidence, they may sort of overlap, but it may not. And that's okay. It's also worth flagging too, right, that just because we have particular abilities, it doesn't necessarily mean that we should or must serve in that ministry. Because we've got to keep thinking, right, how can I build up the body of Christ? Big picture, how can I build those up in their faith? And am I serving in the space for me? Or am I serving because I want to be a team player and love church family? And so we might conclude from a particular ministry as we think about next year. I might step back from this ministry. I want the next gen to step into the space. Or we might think I want to be trained up and supported in this ministry. I want to do that, which will help benefit those who I'm serving. But let me also add that when it comes to serving others, don't just think formal, upfront ministry. Don't downplay how valuable your conversations are over supper, where you can encourage someone else, where you can build someone else up in their walk with Jesus. Because as we know, serving isn't just a Sunday thing, is it? Serving is an all of life, seen and unseen, formal, informal. You know, looking at the diagram, things may not perfectly line up where all three circles sort of overlap. But if we have love, then we will invest in people. We will want to see those around us built up in their faith, right? And so can I encourage you to lean in where God has placed you? Right now, He's placed you. This is your family. My encouragement to you is that don't treat it like a spiritual Airbnb. Move in, you know, commit, you know, invest in those around you. Like many of you've already done for many, many years. Use what God has given you to serve others in love, to build up the body of Christ. As we think about serving between now and the end of this year and into next year, and I've chatted with some of you already, and you might be sort of thinking about where can I serve. You know, you might be keen to jump into youth or music or Bible reading, and those ministries are valuable and needed, right? No doubt. But let me challenge you with a what-if scenario. What if I said, I know that you'd love to serve in this particular ministry, but right now, for the sake of our church, we desperately need you for serving in the Sunday morning services. We need two people next year to step up and lead our uplift group. Would you help build the next generation's love for Jesus? What would you say? Yeah, that's not for me. Sunday mornings, that's what sleep is. My heart's not in it. I don't have love. Well, I hope in light of what God's Word says, you would ask God to give you love for His people. And if you do have love for His people, it may not be your particular ministry you might be excited about, but your love for the people would compel you. After all, serving is not about what do I want to do. What are the priorities? What are the opportunities? Who can I bless? And who can I build up in Christ? Right? That's the bigger picture that Paul wants us to be thinking about. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about serving others with a posture of love for the sake of their growth in Christ. I want to encourage you. The last couple of weeks or a bit more, I've been doing a bit about a serving analysis at 6 p.m. And there's so much for us to give thanks to God for. Across our whole parish, there are 27 ministries where we here at 6 p.m. are serving across. We're involved in serving and growing others. That's huge, right? 27 different ministries that collectively we're involved in across the parish. Incredible breadth of serving. And some of us, right, where we're serving in one or two ways, others we're serving in 5, 6, 8, right? That's wonderful too. And on a Sunday like tonight, there's about 20-odd people, 20 people out of 70 that are serving in some kind of formal capacity. And that's not even including the 24 who serve on a Friday, kids and youth. Be encouraged, right? There's a lot of serving others that are taking place here at 6 p.m. of helping other people grow their faith and love and knowledge of Jesus. It's awesome, right? May we continue to have that mentality and that mindset of serving, whether it's through formal ministries or even informal, right? Like chatting to those around you over supper. And in fact, on that note, I just need to think about this, ponder this. Have you ever thought that you sharing how God's been at work in your life, you sharing that tonight, that might actually strengthen the doubting, might steady the weary, anchor fellow believer in the storm. Tonight over supper, you might just be the person that God uses to build that person up in their walk with Jesus. How cool is that? For me, it makes me go, right, I want to start chatting, right? Let's get into it. Dad, sit down, you know, let's start chatting. Look around. Just your peers. Maybe someone from the other side of the room where you're just like, I'm going to say hi. And God might use that interaction for you to help build them up in Christ. What a treat. What a great way that we could live out God's word to us tonight. I encourage you to be that person. God has placed you here for a reason. You are needed. We need you. You're part of the family. So it's a church where every act of serving, big or small, seen or unseen, is drenched in love and aimed at building up the church. May we be that kind of Savior. May we reflect that kind of Savior who came to serve. Not be served. He gave his life as a ransom for men. So how can you use what God has given you to love and serve the people God has put around you? Because when each of us serve, Christ loves, the whole body grows. The church is healthy, that Jesus is on. So Paul commends the church in Corinth. Let me commend and encourage you with those words too. In love, let's seek to excel in building up the church and helping one another know Jesus. Heavenly Father, how remarkable it is that you would send your Son into this world, King of the universe. And with humility he came to serve what we serve. More than that, he came to give his life for his church, us. Thank you, Father, for the love that you've shown us in your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for your act of service and love. Pray for us, Father, who are your children, who are part of your family, that we would find great joy to serve those around us, that we would serve because that's what family does. Help us to use what you've given us, Father, to serve others in love, so that they will be built up in their faith and walk with Jesus. We ask this in his name. Amen.